Well, happy Monday to you, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I do the majority of teaching at the Lewis Center campus for our church, and we were in week number three this past weekend of the series called Detours. We're talking about this big idea that God uses the wrong roads to get us to the right places. And really the reason behind the series, kind of the idea is that we all feel lost sometimes. We feel like sometimes the people in the Bible are really good and we're really bad and we can't be like them. But what we learn from Judah's life is that God takes really, really bad choices and gets us to the right places, the wrong roads, and yet he gets us to the right places. And so what happens in the narrative that we talked about this weekend is that famine hits Palestine. The 10 brothers of Joseph, they go south and they meet him. They don't know it, but they meet him. It's been 22 years since they sold him into slavery, really at Judah's suggestion. But Joseph knows them. He recognizes them. And, Joseph had a little brother, Benjamin, who did not come down to Egypt because he had kind of become his father's security blanket in a lot of ways. And so Joseph creates a scenario where they have to go back up and get Benjamin and bring him down. And then he kind of works behind the scenes to make Benjamin look like a thief. And essentially what he does is he recreates the scenario from 22 years ago. The brothers can go back up to Egypt. They can leave Benjamin because Joseph has accused him of thievery. They can once again get rid of the favorite son. But this time Judah's response is very different. Genesis chapter 44, verse 33, Judah says to Joseph, "Please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers." In other words, what Judah says is, "I'll stay, let him go home. I'll sacrifice myself because my dad won't be able to live without him." And it's amazing the change that we see in Judah. 22 years earlier, he was the one who said, "Well, let's sell Joseph into slavery." And now he's willing to sacrifice himself because God has used the wrong roads and the bad choices that Judah has made to get him to the right places. We talked a little bit about John Newton. You know, he was a slave trader as a young man, actually, in Britain. He had his own merchant ship, and he would take slaves from Africa, from Southern Europe to the New World, until he came to know Christ. And then he actually became an abolitionist. He fought against the slave trade that he helped create and became a pastor and a poet. And he kind of wrote the anthem for worldwide Christianity, at least for the last couple of centuries, when he wrote the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." When he says wretch, he means wretch. He knows what he had done. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." He wrote the anthem for those of us who want to be, could be changed. And eventually Joseph's brothers, they come down to live in Egypt. But when Jacob, their father, passes away, they're worried that Joseph is going to exact his revenge against them for what they did in selling him into slavery 22 years ago. But Joseph's response is, "Listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good." In other words, Joseph says, "Look, God knew this famine was coming. God knew that you were going to be hungry, not just you, but your children and the grandchildren in our family. And so God allowed that to happen. He allowed you to do the wrong thing to get me to the right place so that it would provide for our family." And we just talked about how there's a lot of palms up moments in life. You see an athlete, whenever they get a foul called on them and the ref makes the wrong call or the umpire makes the wrong call and the athlete's palms up, there's just a lot of palms up moments in life where things aren't fair. The psalmist says this, "Why do the wicked prosper?" It doesn't make sense to the psalmist. And why do the righteous suffer? It doesn't make sense to us. There's a lot of palms up moments, but our feelings must follow our faith. Our faith has to lead our feelings because our feelings will never substantiate faith in the long run. And we live in such a feelings-based, emotionally driven culture that we have to remind each other constantly that our feelings don't know the difference between what's correct and what's counterfeit, between what's reality and what's romance. Our feelings just respond to whatever stimuli we're putting into our brain. So it's so important what we watch, what we listen to, what we see, because we've always got to be reminded that God's truth is greater than human perspective. So Joseph, you know, really has got his brothers right where he wants them after his father passes away. And the question that he asks in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 is, "Do not fear." He says to his brothers, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? Joseph's greatest temptation was not Potiphar's wife, it was to take God's place. The book of Genesis begins with a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, being given one commandment by God. Just one commandment. They could write their whole Bible on a fortune cookie. And yet, in a world of 1,000 yeses and one no, they thought God was holding out on them, so they thought, we're going to be our own gods. The book of Genesis opens with a man and a woman saying, we're going to be our own gods. And the book of Genesis closes with a man saying, am I God? And what we realize is that our lives don't go well when we become our own gods. But the good news is that because of the love of Christ, we can be connected to God, and that God will use even the wrong roads to get us to the right places. So what we need to do today is lean into God's love, especially this week as we're heading in to talking about the resurrection. We need to lean in to God's love. So I'm going to pray that into our life, and then I'm going to have you pray the same whenever I'm done. So thanks once again for joining us, and hope you'll be with us tomorrow. Father, as we open up another week, we don't know what's coming, but you do. And so, God, what other people intend for evil, what God, even our own hearts, when how they gravitate around sin, what others mean, intend for evil, you will use for good. God, we say that in faith because we don't always feel it. Our feelings are liars. And so, God, remind us of that we need more and more and more of your truth. Truth that we lean into today, that we rely upon today. Fill us up with it, God, and help us to trust it. Now you take the opportunity to pray.